The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
We're going to go to the UK. We're joined by Enda Brady, TV presenter with TRT World News. Enda, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Good to speak to you again.
A number of things to talk about. First of all, Dr. Michael Mosley, who went missing on the Greek island of Symi and whose body was found. It appears no foul play is suspected at all.
Natural causes. That's what the coroner, the early report is saying. Apparently his body was found with his feet elevated. Now, he was a very, very well-educated doctor. He would know the human body and he would know that, you know, by elevating the feet, you would get some blood coming back to the brain. And the feeling was that simply the heat overpowered him. It was apparently 40 degrees Celsius last Wednesday on this Greek island of Symi, where he was on holidays with his wife, Claire. He'd gone for a walk. Apparently he'd gone to scramble up a hill to have a look at the marina on the other side. He had an umbrella with him and he was wearing a baseball cap as well. But the heat got the worst of him, got the better of him, and his body was found by journalists, believe it or not, at the weekend. So no foul play, just a complete tragedy. In his late 60s, a very, very popular guy here. He had done a huge amount to popularise medical programming and science TV, and much loved man.
People are wondering how come the sniffer dogs didn't find him, but it appears the sniffer dogs can't operate for very long in that heat.
Yeah, one of the dogs I saw pictures of actually being removed from the operation because the ground was so hot, his paws had been burnt. So that'll give you an indication. I mean, it was just merciless sun beating down a very, very difficult terrain. And Michael Mosley was a very adventurous character, his family say, and he's obviously just thought he could scramble over the hill, and he's got disorientated, but no one had attacked him, no injuries to his head, and they're saying it's natural causes.
And it appears there may even be footage of the fall that led to his death.
Yes, so there's CCTV the whole way around the resort, and I think the real tragedy is that he was only about 50 metres away from getting help. You know, there was a fence. He was one side of the fence and there was people actually drinking in a bar 50 metres away and sunbathing. So it seems to have happened very, very suddenly indeed.
Now, second on our agenda, you must be counting down the minutes, if not the seconds, to the launch of the Conservative Manifesto.
Well, I've just driven into London, and as I was coming in on the M40, there was a police cavalcade with outriders and a big vehicle in the middle of it being escorted north up the M40 towards Silverstone. I'm guessing it was Rishi Sunak. He will, in the next hour or so, launch the Conservative Party manifesto. Lots of talk of tax cuts and tax breaks and how he's going to fix Britain. It was interesting, the interview he did last night with Nick Robinson on the BBC. He has asked the British public to forgive him for leaving D-Day early. A huge gaffe, I think, so far. It's the defining moment of the election campaign. Quite who is advising Sunak, I don't know. Is he even listening to their advice? Because of all the things you do in Britain, stay to the very end of the D-Day commemorations.
Yeah.
41 men who fought on the day itself 80 years ago. These guys are 100 years plus. They managed to stick it out to the end. Joe Biden managed to stick it out to the end. King Charles has cancer and he managed to stick it out to the end. And it was a really poor look that the Sunaks bailed out and got back to England as quick as they could.
So this is going to be the defining moment of the campaign. I suppose it replaces the other defining moment, which was when he announced he was going to the country in the rain.
Yeah, it started badly and it hasn't got any better for him. The polls are not narrowing. He's promising tax cuts. When you speak to economic experts here, they will tell you the level of debt and the level of investment needed in every single public service in the UK right now, taxes should be going up. So he's basically putting himself forward as the man of tax cuts and Starmer as someone who will bring in tax rises. Labour absolutely deny that. But, what, you know, I find it's a fascinating campaign because when you speak to people on the street, the polls are saying that Starmer's on 46%. But when you speak to people on the street, they will say, oh, Starmer's a bit uncharismatic. Oh, I find him quite boring. And maybe that's what Britain actually needs is a period of stability and dullness with someone who wants to serve the public.
That's what they said about Biden after 4 years of Trump.
True. But, you know, Keir Starmer's a robust, fit, agile young man in his 60s. He would argue his best years ahead of him in Downing Street. But it's fascinating. 3 weeks to play and all to play for. Mm. And the UK goes to the polls July 4th.
Well, one of the other things that's expected in this Tory manifesto is the announcement of recruiting 300,000 doctors and 170,000 nurses by 2036. Now, that's so far away, it's very hard to hold someone to promises like that. But, I mean, the issue they have, obviously, is Brexit and the employability of people. Who wants to come to Britain and build a career there if you've no chance of staying?
Yeah, Brexit has been a catastrophe. And it's really interesting, Pat, that the word is not mentioned. That phrase is not mentioned at all in any of the campaigning. So you won't hear Sunak talking about Brexit or Brexit benefits. You know, there are none. It's 8 years on now. It has been an economic catastrophe for the British. And a lot of people are starting to realise it now. And I confidently predict within the next decade, there will be a national conversation over here about rejoining the European Union. And in the 5 years after that, they'll be back in it on even worse terms than they had first time round. And in terms of British doctors and nurses, they're all in Australia. They're all in Perth, Adelaide, Sydney, Melbourne, Darwin. They've had enough of the NHS.
The milkshake kid, Nigel Farage, is he evident?
Yes, I think, look, for someone who is trying to get into Parliament in London, in Westminster, for the eighth time, he's failed seven times. He's never got anywhere near it in seven attempts. For someone who has such an abysmal electoral record, he could actually have a defining kind of say on what happens on July the 4th, because you're getting a lot of elderly Conservative Party voters who don't like Sunak, don't like the party at the moment, feel it isn't right-wing enough for them, and they're likely to give their support to Reform. Now, Reform are polling at 16% right now, and that will hurt the Conservatives. You know, Farage can do what he wants, say what he wants. He gets himself on every TV and radio show for someone who's never been in Parliament as an elected MP. The big problem the Conservatives have under Sunak is he appeals to a lot of people who will only vote Conservative. So Farage is not going to steal any votes or his party Reform. They're not going to take votes off Labour. They will dip into what is quite a, really an elderly vote, white, predominantly in the south of England, in the home counties around the London area. That's where he will do the most damage. And Sunak's message is that a vote for Reform puts Starmer in number 10.
Now, if you were to take an effigy of Rishi Sunak, maybe from Madame Tussauds, and an effigy of Nigel Farage, and offer an alien the choice, which of these is an archetypical British Tory, what would the alien say?
They would point at Nigel Farage. I mean, people think he embodies the spirit of conservatism. And look, he has this kind of air about him. He's very good at communication. He's very good at getting a message across in a way that Sunak just can't do. He's almost been 2 years in the job now, and he is not punching through. I don't think the British public understand what he stands for. And he keeps telling people how his parents worked in the National Health Service and his mother ran a pharmacy and he helped out. It's not getting through. I think money is a big issue. His wife is the daughter of a billionaire. Her dividends last year were somewhere in the region of 13 million sterling, 11 million the year before that. They have forever money. And I think in a cost of living crisis, you know, this is the guy who wore Prada shoes to a building site a year ago. He's a very strange dude.
All right. The third story I want to talk to you about is the new trial of the nurse Lucy Letby. How come she's being tried again and for what?
So when she was convicted of seven counts of murder and seven counts of attempted murder of tiny baby infants at the hospital in Chester, there were six charges that the jury could not reach verdicts on. They were all six counts of attempted murder. She's been sentenced to basically what it amounts to 14 life sentences and a whole life tariff. So she won't be getting out of prison ever. And her leave to appeal has been rejected. A new trial begins today. She faces one single count of attempted murder. And it is a little infant referred to. Each was given a letter of the alphabet, baby K, a baby girl. And the allegation is that in February of 2016, the nurse Lucy Letby attempted to murder baby Kay. She denies the charge and the trial getting underway today at Manchester Crown Court.
Now, she maintains it's a complete conspiracy against her. And the question is, if she did it and she's been convicted of seven murders, why?
We still don't know. We still don't know. It makes no sense whatsoever. I mean, the crimes were horrific. The murders of seven baby infants and the attempted murders of another seven. 14 life sentences she got. We still don't know. And she's maintaining her innocence, but she has been found guilty in the Crown Court and she is serving 14 life sentences. Mm-hmm. But she has not engaged in any way with the victims' families or the prosecution or the police or said why she did it. But basically a new legal page turns today where she will be brought into court and she will face one count of attempted murder, which she denies.
Now, I don't know whether you came across, well, you couldn't have because it was geo-blocked, the piece in the New York Times which suggested there was a prosecutor's fallacy using statistics erroneously in the case and that the dice was loaded very much against Lucy Letby.
Well, look, Pat, they didn't just use statistics. If you go back to the previous trial where she was found guilty of 14 charges in total, they didn't use just statistics. They didn't just use rosters and rotas and who was on shift. They even had a letter, a note in her own handwriting where she admitted she did it. That's her handwriting. This was not made up.
So game, set and match. The reason for this case today is because it failed the last time?
So that's precisely it. So there were six counts of attempted murder that the jury just couldn't reach the verdicts on. The deliberations could have gone on even longer and they could not reach verdicts on those six counts. So what the Crown Prosecution Service in the UK, which is basically England's answer to the DPP, they've gone away, looked at the six charges and they've taken one on which to retry her. So she now faces a retrial on one of those charges and it is relating to a little baby girl called Baby K, attempted murder.
All right. How long is the trial expected to last?
6 weeks at Manchester Crown Court. So I'm sure we'll talk about it again, Pat.
All right. Thank you very much, Enda, for joining us. Enda Brady, TV presenter with TRT World News.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.